Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Many thanks to Ivan, who's in here cleaning up AWOD's mess.
Why is he doing it? AWOD should be on his hands and knees.
I fully agree. I agree 1,000%.
Yeah. Our boss, CK, came in here and said, there's a CVS down the street. You can get some Resolve carpet cleaner.
Right. He should. He totally should. Hmm. Sometimes you have to sacrifice for your art. And AWOD's sacrifice should be getting some carpet cleaner. And getting the stain out.
Well, we better thank Ivan.
Yes, Ivan, doing a great job.
Everyone's Rick around.
Doing a good service. Thank you.
Is everybody Rick?
There's a Rickness in there.
There's an air of Rickness. Who else is down with the Rickness?
Yes. Who else besides Chris?
Well, you guys.
Oh, I don't care. That don't bother me.
Mostly Chris is Rick.
Yeah.
Which I'm puts sure a damper on the festivities.
Right. Have fun. Have fun working for the next 5 hours.
He's trying
in the
to
studio.
Be entertaining. Sometimes you
sometimes there's fallout. Right? Sometimes there's fallout.
Uh-huh.
That's just what appears to have happened.
You didn't mean to ruin the carpets.
There's some egg shrapnel still.
Right. We'll get it cleaned up.
Yeah. Next segment, we're going to do Sex for Sam.
Yeah. Right. Really torpedo our careers.
What's funny about it is that Valdez is obsessed with the Opie and Anthony cake stomp. He's mentioned to me 10,000 times.
And he
didn't even see it coming.
Anytime we have something precious, I always tell someone, break it, rip it up in front of them, stomp on it. And then it happened to me.
You had nothing to do with, like, his heel turn was 100% genuine.
Well, I think Drab.
Did you suspect it?
I didn't suspect it at all. But I think Drab was a little birdie whispering.
I'll be honest, I thought he was going to, like, punch it once on the table.
Right.
I didn't think he was going to throw it on the ground and stomp on it 1,000 times. That's AWOD doing what he does.
That's kind of his specialty. It's kind of what he majors in.
By the way,
Jason's humor, not at all.
I don't care.
I know.
I got to throw this out as a charity event.
Okay, good.
At my daughter's high school tomorrow night.
Awesome.
All right, so at Briarwoods High School has partnered with Ellie's Hats.
Ah, very good. Love Ellie's Hats.
A charity that we support.
There's an
Absolutely.
Ellie's hat right up there.
Yep,
I didn't know if you knew that, Cake.
I'm shocked JP didn't throw it away in the studio purge today.
And I was wearing Ellie's hat earlier this week.
That's right, you
were. On Monday.
Yep.
Anyway, so they partnered up to bring awareness to pediatric cancer, and they're hosting a Go Gold basketball game at Briarwoods tomorrow night. Proceeds from shirt sales and donations will benefit families coping with pediatric cancer.
Very good.
All right, so that's tomorrow night. My daughter is actually in the varsity club, so she's part of it. And that's tomorrow night at Briarwoods High School. So be a part of it. And the donations go right to the
families. Bring some extra cash.
The donations go right to the families.
Perfect.
That's good. Your daughter's in a club. I don't think I was in one club in high
school. No way I was in a club. You know, here's the club I was in. Got bad grades club. Barely got through high school club. That was the club that I was in.
It's embarrassing when I tell my kids like what my high school GPA was.
Oh, I try to keep that to a dull roar.
I didn't even have a 3.0.
My daughter, sweats anytime she even has anything close to a B in one class,
right.
Like on Edline or whatever the online component is, where they check their grades. And I see the report card she brings home, and I never had a report card that looked like that.
Right.
Because her report card is filled with A's, and mine was littered with C's, D's. Some B's thrown in for good measure. Not a lot of A's.
Yeah.
I just, not a good student. Just bad student.
Yeah, you just didn't care, but it worked out for you.
High school was hard.
Yeah.
We went to a magnet school. Cakes and I went to Eleanor Roosevelt. High school was as hard, if not harder, than law school.
Right.
It really was hard. Part of it was that we had to take classes that we had no interest in.
Right.
So in 10th grade, I took microbiology and physiology, college level. How do you think I did in those classes?
I took advantage.
You didn't have a government teacher that was Mike Bray, the assistant basketball coach.
No, we didn't have that luxury.
Who would sit in the back of the room and just, you know, design X's and O's for the Archbishop Carroll game.
Did you ever take chemistry? You know how hard chemistry is?
I did take chemistry.
Okay. And think about taking AP chemistry, because this guy that you're looking at here took AP chemistry.
You know what chemistry is? Dull.
Stupid. I agree. Yeah.
Boring.
I took physics. I didn't know what was happening. I had no idea what was going on around me. Physics? How am I going to know physics?
You really need to calculate how long it's going to take for a man to hit the ground if he falls off a skyscraper.
I took
He's
element.
Gonna die.
I was on the slow math track in high school. So I took elementary analysis as a senior in a class,
which is pre-calculus.
I was in a class littered with juniors. I was the one dumb senior in the class, and I was behind everybody. I didn't know what I was doing. I was terrified the teacher was going to call me and have me try to solve some sort of equation up on the board. I didn't have a prayer of solving it. None whatsoever.
But it has worked out, Jason. It has.
Thank God I don't need to use any form of my education to do this job. None whatsoever.
A couple of things sports related.
What do you mean? You're a mass comm major.
It's true. It's a good point.
We're seeing something in college hoops that we haven't seen in years, and that's the decline of North Carolina basketball.
Yeah.
All right.
Are they sub 500?
Oh, yeah. They're 1-6 in the ACC. They lost last night down in Blacksburg. Virginia Tech beat them in double overtime. So North Carolina is now 1-6 in the conference. I think they're 8-11 overall,
I mean, they had Anthony, Greg Anthony's son.
He got hurt. Right.
And so I think that they had hope that he would carry him to a good record.
Sure. But they usually have a better supporting cast than what they have. They have a 1-6 team in the conference, which is unbelievable. Roy Williams has been there since 2003, and they've been to, I think they've probably been to the tournament every single year, maybe an outlier in the mid-2000s. But we have never seen a North Carolina team this bad. And to go down to Virginia Tech, Virginia Tech's having a pretty good year, but they're young, and they got a new coach, and they got a lot of new players. They had a bunch of players transfer out. They lost their top six players, I think, from last year, and they lost in double overtime down in Blacksburg last night. And Cakes, they must be going berserko down in Chapel Hill.
Yeah, it can't be sitting well
because they are not with the natives. They had a really good team last year.
Yeah. Well, their football team is better right now than their basketball team. And their football team, I believe, was 500.
Yeah, they went to a bowl. I think they might have been better than 500. I think
they had one game over 500, something like that.
I'm not going to. You think I'm going to sit here and boohoo and cry tears for a program that has gotten to the heights that program has over the years?
It's just rare.
Not going
to
do it.
It's just rare to see when a Carolina team, who's usually going to the Sweet 16 or Elite 8,
well, you know what?
Won't go to the tournament.
Those people deserve some adversity. Those Carolina fans, you know what? Get used to some adversity.
They're getting it this year.
Embrace it.
And the other thing is, it's Tiger Week. Valdez and I have been talking about it.
It is, yes.
Tigers are so obsessed. When will it end?
Driver.
It'll
I made a terrible
end.
Joke about it.
What about if he's on the senior tour only?
I'll watch it.
Yeah, of course. Anyway.
Of course you'll watch. They'll never get over their obsession with Tiger.
Well, it goes beyond that. We're golf nuts.
Yeah.
But Tiger's playing for the first time in 2020. The last time he played was the Zozo in Japan, and he won that in December. And he's playing at his home course, Torrey Pines.
Right.
Where he's won 8 times. And Valdez brought up something during the breaks that this is a big year because it's an Olympic year, and Tiger has expressed for the last couple of years for the last few years, he really wants to play in the Olympics. He wanted to play a few years back, but he had the injuries and he had the
They've only had golf in the Olympics, though, for how many
This will
Olympics?
Be the second time.
Okay. Nothing I get more pumped for than an Olympic gaff.
But he has to finish in the top 4 of the world rankings of the Americans. All right, so currently your top-rated Americans are Brooks Koepka, Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, and I thought Tiger was ranked in the top 4, but maybe Cantlay is.
What are 4 guys with less than 0 personality?
He was just out of it, but I think after the Hawaii swing.
I think he's in right now.
He moved in. Right, so if the Olympics Cantlay started
Cantlay's
this week.
Right behind him.
Right.
But Tiger's got to finish in the top 4. If he finishes outside the top 4, then he doesn't make the team. But you got to think about this.
If everybody goes.
Correct. That's my point. You have to think about this. One of those guys might step aside
right.
and say, Tiger, take my spot. whether it's Dustin Johnson or Justin Thomas, who's a good friend of his, might just say, Tiger, I know you want to play. It's probably your last opportunity to play in the Olympics. Here you go.
Where are the next Olympics?
Is it Japan.
Tokyo?
Tokyo, yeah.
Okay.
Or somewhere in Japan, yeah. But it's in, it's right in between the British Open and when the FedEx Cup playoffs start. All right, so some of these guys
who
might
knows that?
Golf nerds.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's in June or
July.
I
actually did see a golf story last week. Brooks Koepka apparently got into some sort of a Twitter spat or social media spat with Bryson DeChambeau.
It was actually pretty funny.
DeChambeau, is he cock diesel? Is he muscular?
Big. Yeah, he got big.
And he made fun of Brooks Koepka, who loves to put out like naked shots of him or in thong that he didn't have a six-pack.
Right. Yeah.
And then Koepka showed his six-pack trophies.
Right.
No, he showed his four. Yeah. He showed his four majors.
I like that response.
He said, I'm too short of a six-pack.
Yeah, yeah. I do like that.
That was really funny.
That's a nice flex by Koepka.
But anyway, so that's another reason to watch Tiger this year, if you're a golf fan, because he's trying to make the Olympic team as well, and I think he will be on the Olympic team.
Come let me know when the Masters is.
Well, you know when the Masters is. This is in April. Whoopie-doo. I don't have to let you know.
I was going to guess May.
And by the way,
that's how much I care.
You're not going to have to ask when it is because we'll be talking about it for about 2 weeks before.
Oh, great.
We're going to have daily golf guests. But anyway, Valdez, 12:40 today, East Coast time, Tiger teaser.
I
get size for Torrey because I've played Torrey and I get to relive my entire round by watching.
That's very
true. Did you play North or South?
I played both.
Oh, you did.
Big time.
But they've tricked it. Well, not tricked it up, but they've certainly redesigned Torrey Pines because they're going to host the
U.S.
Open next year.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's not as easy, especially the North course, not as easy as used to be.
South is 7,700.
There's a lot of golf geekery in here.
Just wanted to throw those sports stories in there for you.
I mean, you and Valdez used to do the betting show podcast, which is now Big Fat Winners. Why don't you guys do a golf podcast?
Because I don't want to do it for free.
That's a very good point.
If you want to pay me, I'm in. I don't want to do it for free. I did Big Fat Winners for 3 years for free.
Not big free winners.
Right. Big free winners. Not interested this year.
By the way, I believe Big Fat Winners, they were one of the tweeters that was clubbing your back and forth with Barry Sanders.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't think that's Skippy. Skippy doesn't look at that. It's probably Nubby Doug.
Nubs Doug,
right.
Taunting you for being unprofessional.
Oh, by the way, Mike Winslow tweeted some BS about how Alex Smith walked into the Bonefish and with his cast on, and I asked for an autograph. He was lying about that. Never happened.
I do like the story, though.
He's hanging out with Drabby, just telling stories, just making stuff up.
So it's a corner club creation?
Yeah, he's just making stuff up. But people will believe
it. Corner club dead?
People will believe that.
Oh, no, sure they will.
They'll read any tweet and go, oh, that really happened? Bishop's an idiot. That never happened.
Yeah, but nobody sees that because obviously he's tweeting the junkies, so we would be the only ones who would have seen that.
Oh, he was only tweeting you?
I think so. I don't. You know what? I probably don't even know how Twitter works.
I don't think so. I think other people responded to it.
Got you. All right, we got a comedian joining us coming up next. He's at the DC Improv tonight through Sunday. Fahim Anwar is going to join us, and the studio has been cleaned up.
Very good.
Once again to Ivan.
Ivan's the man.
Did a fantastic job.
Saved Awad's ass.
We'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Happy to be joined in studio by Fahim Anwar. He's going to be at the DC Improv tonight through Sunday. Go to dcimprov.com to give us tickets and Shocker, somebody that lives in California is getting peppered by Jason about living in California.
I just love
it's weird that you say you're going to probably end up in North Carolina because you're obsessed with California.
Well, I was telling Fahim, I love going to California. I love vacation. I couldn't see myself living there.
You're kind of stealing my bit about loving California. I think I was the first guy to be really like gush about loving California.
Really? And there's never been songs about it or anything.
Well, hold on a second.
In this room, I mean.
Hold on a second. There's no chance you visited California before I did.
I know you visited before me, but on the show, it was kind of my bit to love California, and now you're kind of glomming on.
You're kind of known for that.
He is known for that.
I am kind of known for that.
I would visit Santa Barbara back in the 80s when my mom was working for Reagan.
Went to college there.
I know he beat me
I
to the spot.
I lived in San Diego for a year. You're just way off.
Yeah.
Anyway, I love going there, but and I was telling you, I just couldn't see myself living there because I guess it has this reputation as being too expensive. But you're saying it's not.
I think everywhere is expensive nowadays, though. And I think there's a way you can make any city affordable. Like, what do you value?
Right.
And you don't have to live in the heart of it. You can, like, people forget cars exist.
Right.
You don't have to live where cars. It's $1 million.
Right.
Just live in the burbs and drive in.
That's now, what we all do.
Yeah.
DC.
It's a great move.
You say you live in Tarzana now.
Yeah, Tarzana. It just sounds far away. You know, it's like one of those cities where it's like, I live in Barstow.
It sounds like it's like in Africa. I mean,
Tarzana.
Right.
All right, so that's in the valley, but where were you living before you moved to Tarzana?
I was in Koreatown. That's kind of more, it's like downtown-ish. I used to have this bit where I'm like, I feel like you're not doing well when you live in another ethnic group's town.
Right. Uh-huh. It's a good bit.
Yeah, when you're just like an honorary member.
Right. You feel like an interloper.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not Korean.
Yeah, if you're not Korean, you're living in Koreatown. Right. Like,
do they give you the evil eye like when you walk out of there? Like, what was it like?
No, I felt like I was honorary Korean because I was there for a while. I was there, like now it's kind of gentrified. It's getting more white. It's more tattoos coming in.
Did you
some barista
Korean?
Flair.
Did you speak Korean?
Almost. But I was there for so long that I feel like the Koreans and I had solidarity when it started getting more gentrified. We're like, oh, the neighborhood is going.
All these white people moving in.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know, like a duck that thinks it's a dog or something.
So do you enjoy Tarzan now?
Tarzan. I love how they've made a whole city off of like, hey, you know that show Tarzan? Let's slap an A on it. We're a city. Let's get a mayor.
You like it in the valley now.
I like it. I'm very new to the valley.
Right.
But it's I feel like in your 20s, everyone wants to be in the West Hollywood and like that's where it's at.
That's where it's
but
at,
then
right?
Once you hit your 30s, you
you're out.
Yeah, you forget like, oh, the valley's great. There's parking.
Right. It's funny.
By the way, I didn't – when you joined us in studio, I'll be honest, I didn't know anything about you.
Thank you.
And I just
we do our homework.
We do our homework.
Does that mean I need
DC.
To be? Oh yeah,
yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
He was an aerospace engineer.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Wow.
I mean, that takes a crazy amount of guessing math, physics. Everything else that you study in college.
He's
got stuck on that.
Math and physics, right?
Yes.
You need to know a ton of that to be an engineer.
He didn't get D's in that like you did.
He knows about vectors.
What if I'm like, I was not good, though, so don't fly on these planes.
Hold on, so get back to California.
Yeah.
You live alone. You didn't want to do the roommate thing because you did that.
Oh, yeah. So like when I first, because I was living in Seattle, that's where I grew up. I went to UW, so I got the engineering degree out there. Uh-huh. And then you know, when you do comedy, take it to the next level. You have to go to New York or you have to go to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. Those are the two big markets.
Right.
And my family's in Seattle. I'm like, let's keep it West Coast. So I moved to L.A. But I was applying to jobs. And the closest I could get to kind of run Hollywood was Long Beach.
Uh-huh.
So Boeing was hiring out there. Uh-huh. So I got a job at Boeing. And then I'm like, I got to get a place. So I'm on Craigslist. And I find...
Yeah, and there's
no, no roommate story. It never ends well where you go... My best friend for years, I found him as a roommate on Craigslist. It's always a horror story.
Right. Craigslist.
Yeah, so it was basically me living in this place with this like engaged couple. And it was the worst because like they're already a unit, you know? Uh-huh. And I'm just like this homeless guy who walks in off the street.
Third wheel.
Third wheel. Every time I would come home from work, they're just like canoodling on the couch. And they look over at me.
Did you ever catch them banging in the place?
I mean, you would hear occasionally.
Hear that. That's awkward.
And that's when you throw the headphones in.
That's right.
That should be the iPod commercial, just tune it out.
And you got to share a kitchen and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the worst.
Yeah. So how long did that last? Was that a
year? That's the other thing, too. It's like I was kind of sheltered like growing up, you know, because I didn't live on campus or anything. I was living at home. So it was my first time.
You commuted to
D-Dub? I commuted. Yeah. So it was my first time being out.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't really been an adult. And I remember my brother was visiting, and I was venting. I'm like, it's the worst. It's like there's this couple, and I'm like a homeless guy watching them. I got to get out of here. And he's like, why don't you move? I go, oh, yeah.
That's an option.
I can do that.
Yeah, right. That's funny.
And so would you go out at night after comedy? Like, what would you do? I would imagine you would just avoid being home.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I wasn't home really that often. I would work by day, and then I would come home for a little bit, and then I would go out to the clubs and do stand or like open mics. It wasn't even the clubs because no one really cared about you when you're a young comic in a new city. You're like a runt. So I was just burning the candle at both ends. I was doing engineering by day and then doing comedy at night. And then I think I didn't tell work about it at all because I didn't want them to think that my work was being affected by this outside thing. So nobody knew I did stand up, but I would be tired some days. And I think some of them thought I was like a club kid. He goes, oh, were you partying?
Well, you kind of were.
I was, but kind of in a methodical way this other thing that I really want to do. And I would rather have them believe I was a club kid. So I was like, yeah, I was clubbing pretty hard.
Do your parents freak out when you get this aerospace engineering degree and then you say, I'm going to ditch that for the very stable world of stand-up comedy?
Yeah, but he was still making money as an engineer.
Yeah, this is true.
Like, he didn't go all in, really.
No, I kind of
is now.
I am all in now, but it was like the most Shawshank way to get out of this thing, you know? So they knew very early. I was like 18 when I knew I wanted to do this, but I had to go to college, and my parents were going to pay for me to go to college, but only certain degrees. So engineering was the lowest I could do and have them still pay for it.
That was the lowest.
Yeah. Because at first I was like, what about acting? What about directing? They're like, no. Like, I'm not going to burn this pile of cash.
Who made you want to get into comedy? Was there somebody that you watched? Like,
you know, it wasn't even
watched?
Like one person. It was like I researched the career path. So I loved SNL.
Really?
Yeah. So I loved SNL. I'm like, how do people get on this show? And so I Googled it, and then people got on the show either by stand-up or they were improv performers. So you know they have schools like Second City or Groundlings or UCB. So they were like sketch and improv performers, or they were stand-up comedians like Eddie Murphy or Spade or Schneider or Sandler. They're stand-ups.
Right.
So they came from one of those two camps. And then I researched the schools and all that, and those were faraway places. And there was a club in Seattle. I'm like, oh, stand-up. I think I could do stand-up because it's all on me. I just have to go out at night. I don't have to rely on other people. So that's when I started doing stand-up. Yeah. And I just did the engineering because it made the parents happy. And I wanted to have a job while I chased this thing instead of like living out of my car.
Right.
Because people have this romanticized version of like living their dreams. They're like, nah, it's like balls at the wall. All or nothing. Either it works out or my life is over.
Right. I'd like to have a paycheck every 2 weeks. Got to fall back on.
Yeah. But then you could do it a smart way. You can set yourself up like...
And then when did you start getting into TV?
So that was just a byproduct
of... And those checks got to be nice.
You know, people think they are. Like, there's this misconception that just if you're on TV or if you're in a movie, that it's like easy street. And it's an okay payday for that one thing, but it's not a regular thing unless you're a series regular on like a sitcom.
Okay.
But if you're a guest star on a show here and there, it's like an okay piece of money right there. But
have you done series where you're on every week? Or are you just a guest star?
I've done recurring things where like I'm on for 3 episodes, but not a series regular.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's a goal, obviously.
No, not really, actually. That kind of like frightens me, unless it's like a project that I really like.
Right.
Because if you're a series regular on a show, you have to really love that show. I don't know, maybe if you're an actor, you love that more. But I'm a stand-up. I like bouncing around. I like doing different projects. Like Bill Burr's career is ideal. He has his stand-up, and then he hops into these cool things like Breaking Bad and The Mandalorian. He can pick and choose. He can be nimble.
Right.
And that's kind of exciting.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're like the wacky neighbor, you're that for like 10 years. And unless you love being the wacky neighbor, it's like I'll be an engineer. Then it's a day job.
What did you do last year with 19 for
what
TV?
What did I do? Oh, man, what's my IMDb, dude?
We are well-researched.
Yeah, I'm just asking you. I didn't research you. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I think I did a few guest stars on TV, and then I don't know if it was last year or the year before. We had a sketch show on Comedy Central, or a 1-hour sketch special called Goat Face.
Oh, okay.
With Hasan Minhaj from Daily Show and Patriot Act, you know.
Okay.
So we were in a sketch group before anybody was anybody, and then we finally got to do what we did on YouTube for TV. So that was fun. I was head writer on that. And just a lot of stand-up dates. I was doing that.
What do you have on the books for 2020 for TV?
2020 TV? I'm doing a guest star of...
I like it.
Sounds like my dad. Like, well, what's your future, huh? What do you have in the books for 2020? Yeah. Well, you should call your old boss. See if you can
get... Well, I don't get out to the comedy club.
Yeah.
So I want to see you on TV.
So stand-up is always the main thing, you know? Like, that'll be every day. But I have a guest star that I'll be doing on this show on Comedy Central called Corporate.
Mm-hmm.
So that...
Does your pops give you a lot of pressure beyond the career? Like at 35, you're single?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you get pressure in that end?
You know, they're pretty good. There isn't that trope of like, when are you going to get married? Where are my grandkids? Right. Like there's not that.
Not that pressure.
Yeah, not that pressure. But there was career pressure. Like you're throwing your life away. All
this stuff. What did they do?
Well, my dad's an engineer.
Okay.
My dad's an engineer at Boeing.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So I think there's no rich stand-up culture in Afghanistan, so it's hard for them to understand this as a career path.
Mm-hmm.
So,
no, but I don't think it's necessarily cultural, although I'm first generation born here.
Mm-hmm.
I went to law school, and when we started doing this, I basically said, I can give this a year. Or they're not going to be like, we put all that money into law school, and you're making $100 on the weekend doing a stupid radio show?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you have to...
There is an element of that as well, but... You're doing it, and there is a path, and I think you're closer to it than sometimes parents see it as this nebulous thing and not like a legitimate career path. And you are a lawyer, and you're a logical person, so you understand that there is a road. But I think sometimes your parents think you're crazy or like misguided. So it's rooted in love. As I got older, I realized it's not because they hate you. It's just because they don't want you to eat out of a trash can.
Right. When's the last time you were at the Improv?
The Improv? I love the Improv. Yeah. There's so many of them. There's one in Hollywood that I play a lot, the Hollywood Improv, do there.
This is your first time, the D.C. Improv.
Yeah, D.C. Improv. So I've never been to D.C. as a civilian or a comedian, and I'm here as both, guys. Uh-huh. I'm very excited.
You do a little
show. Are you actually going to do stuff here?
What do you mean? Yeah, I'm going to be a tourist. I'm going to go to the White House. I'll take some pictures. Where's a good place to get a selfie stick? Do you guys know?
That's a good question.
I want to be as foreign as possible. Yeah, like, hey, sir, can you take a picture in front of...
That's funny. Cakes has one. Cakes has a selfie
stick. Yeah, I'm sure I have a selfie stick.
So this is your first time at the DC Improv.
Yeah. And all my comedian friends tell me it's a great club. They tell me I'm going to have
so much fun. It's a great
spot. Oh, yeah. Because we always trade notes, like, where are you going to be this weekend? And I go, DC Improv. They go, you're going to love it there.
Well, what's the worst spot?
The worst spot?
Yeah.
I don't want to call them out like that. No, I don't think there's anywhere
that... give us a region.
No, I will...
Like going the south?
I'm trying to think. Oh, one time... No, I don't want to... All right.
Don't tell us the club.
Say the name of the club.
Say the city. Say the city.
It's like South Dakota.
South Dakota, okay.
Yeah.
I can't imagine there being a big response in South Dakota. First of all, South Dakota probably
It was a
only
very,
has,
very small
it's
market.
A sparse state,
it was fun
right?
for oh, yeah. what
it's
it was.
A, it's a, there's no way there's a million people
no, it's
living there.
They were lovely people.
But nobody lives there.
Probably 100
people. 30 degrees below zero in the winter. Why would you want to live there?
Yeah.
All right. So what happened there?
It's just a different, like, different type of market is mm-hmm. all, you know, DC is a pretty poppin' place. It's pretty multicultural mm-hmm. and well-educated and all that and savvy crowds.
Right.
Sometimes you get to a place and it's like so homogenous that it's not great for comedy when it's all one viewpoint.
They don't see Afghan stand-up comics there.
Yeah, I'm like a talking dog.
Right. They see more buffalo than Afghans.
Yeah.
That's funny. Well, don't go back to South Dakota, but go out and see him at the DC Improv tonight through Sunday. Tickets available at dcimprov.com. It's Fahim Anwar.
Yeah.
Thank you very
Perfect.
Much.
Thanks for having me, guys.
And you know what? If you have a car, you can donate your car today to the Purple Heart Foundation. Donating is easy, hassle-free, and your donation is tax-deductible. Last year, the Purple Heart Foundation provided assistance to over 18,000 of America's bravest veterans, helping them with VA benefits, coping with post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, and providing suicide prevention assistance. You can be the difference. Donate your car today. Visit donatepurpleheart.org. That's donatepurpleheart.org.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, thanks again to Fahim Anwar for joining us in the studio. Go out and see him at the DC Improv. You know, Allison said, come by anytime. I love going. I've never had a bad time at the DC Improv.
No, it's a great spot.
I think the last time I went, it was to see an MMAer who became huge on, like, the Joe Rogan show. And okay. He does stand-up comedy. He has a Showtime special. Brendan Schaub. I didn't think he was particularly the best, but I still had a good time.
Sure. Why wouldn't you?
You always have a good time. So go to DCImprov.com to get tickets.
I didn't know former Texans quarterbacks were stand-ups.
not Matt Schaub. No. I guarantee you he's not funny. He's got a fat portfolio, though.
Oh, yes, he does.
He's still in the league. I can't believe he's still in the NFL.
Still making cash.
So good for him.
I just saw this story, and I wanted to get your take on this. I don't even know how I feel about it. Totally. It seems to be a trifling move. First of all, Jason wanted live sports in studio earlier in the show.
And you still haven't given it to
it. It was on at the Australian Open. It was on this channel.
All right. Maybe coverage ended. I don't
know. Anyway, the Australian Open is going on right now. I know a lot of people are
people are clamoring.
Yeah, this is the channel that had the Aussie Open.
All right, good.
All right. Maybe they moved to a different ESPN. So there's a 21-year-old Frenchman, Elliot Benchitrit, who is ranked number 231 in the world.
All right. Benchitrit.
He's playing in the Australian
Open. I guarantee
you
that's not how it's pronounced.
Probably Benchitrit.
There's no way that's how it's pronounced. Okay. He's French.
Who cares? Elliot, 21 years old.
No one's ever heard of him.
Benchitrit.
Right.
Whatever the hell you want to call him.
Okay.
21-year-old player who apparently has some banged up hands.
Okay.
All right. He has blisters all over his hands.
Oh, gross.
And he's wearing bandages.
Yes, he is.
All right.
So many bandages, Jason.
And so during one of the breaks,
6-5 in the final set.
He asks a ball girl to peel his banana.
Okay.
And that has become controversial. The chair umpire said, "You're treating your ball girl like she's a slave." And he said, "My hands are in.
My hands are in the bandages." And Jason Walt sings his song, "Bandages from Hot Hot Heat."
Bandages.
They're blistered.
Yeah, I mean,
his hands are banged up.
He had to put cream on his hands, apparently.
So the umpire said.
Lotion?
The umpire said.
Yeah, or cream.
Use your teeth.
Hand cream.
He said, "Use your teeth."
It rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose.
I think it's a trifling move to ask the ball girl.
I'm watching the video right now.
To ask her to peel your banana.
I think
that's a little entitled.
I don't think it's completely out of bounds. The guy,
that's not her job. Her job is not to peel his banana. He doesn't have to have a banana during the changeover.
You know what her job is, honestly? coming from a former ball boy back in the day, your job when you're out there is to do what's asked of you. And if somebody asks you to peel their banana because his hands are blistering and bleeding, he can barely hold his racket, you should probably peel the person's banana.
Now, all of a sudden, his hands are bleeding and can barely hold
the
racket.
You said his hands are completely blistered. He needed 1,000 bandages.
I don't know if it's completely blistered or he had a dinky blister.
He just had some
I mean, he's still playing in the match.
But again,
he had band-aids around his like index
getting
finger.
Getting back to my point. When you're a ball girl or a ball boy, okay, you know what you are? You're basically a half step above a slave.
So you're the little
running,
bitch.
Here's what you're doing. Yeah, you pretty much are. You're running around. You're picking up tennis balls. You're giving people their towels. You're bringing them water. I mean, how is it that much different to peel a banana? Because the dude's hand hurts. He wouldn't have asked her to do it if it hadn't been something that's difficult for him to do.
By the way, he peeled the banana. Easily.
Okay, but you know what? It probably hurt him to peel his banana.
It hurt. It hurts to peel a banana.
He had 1,000 blisters on his hand.
He still has to serve.
You know what?
I would imagine serving would be tougher than peeling a banana.
I'm a borderline diva. I might ask the ball boy or ball girl to peel my banana too. Why wouldn't I? If I need to save my hands for playing tennis.
At least you don't exaggerate. He had 1,000 blisters on his hands.
He had a bunch of blisters on his hands.
A bunch equals 1,000.
A bunch.
Anyway.
No, what I actually said were, I said his hands were blistered.
Okay. To me, that means more than one blister.
He said the reason he couldn't peel it was because he had the cream on his hands.
Okay. Again, she's there and he is there. I'm not making this a female or male thing. If you're a ball boy / ball girl, you're there. It's basically an assistant to the players and help them throughout the match.
Well, hold on a second. All right. At 10 o'clock, I don't care about this.
I don't care.
At 9:47, this is what I'll say. So
yes.
He said he can't peel the banana because he's got cream or blisters on it. But he can go out and grab a racket and hit balls 150 miles an hour.
You know what?
Does that make any sense to you?
His hands are slippery. He had lotion on his hands.
Rubs the lotion on its skin.
Okay.
You know what?
Gets the hose again.
You know what?
If I were a diva tennis player and I had lotion on my skin and on my hands and it was hard to peel my banana, I'd have the ball boy and ball girl doing everything for me. Tying my shoes, bringing me my towel.
Okay. All right.
Fanning me in between sets while I'm sitting on the
chair on the side. Did he win the match, JP?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
He's number 231 in the world. Even if he won, he's not going far.
I would love to be number 231
again,
in the world.
If you're a ball boy, here's what you get. You get paid. If you get paid, it's minimal. You get like a t-shirt, and you get access to some of the greatest tennis players in the world, and you're basically their indentured servant.
Were you a ball boy with Eric back in the day at the DC Bank?
I definitely – it was 20 names ago, like the Sovereign Bank Classic or whatever it was called.
Right. Who was
back
the
in
biggest
the
tennis star that you were a ball boy
for?
I remember EB always talking about Thomas
Muster. Probably like 1984. I'll just throw a name out. It's probably like Jimmy Arias.
Right.
If people remember that name. And if you're 45 to 50, you might. And
Aaron
Krickstein. Aaron Krickstein level. Yes. Something along those lines. But you know what? You know what I didn't do when I was a ball boy? Ask questions.
But I bet you didn't
I did
peel
what
a
I
banana.
Was told.
All right, now, I believe that the ball girl that he asked was white.
Okay.
Could he ask an African-American woman?
Sure.
This is trifling.
What does it matter? What does it matter what the color of your skin is at that point? You have lotion all over your hands. Your hands have a million blisters on
them. But he doesn't have to have the banana.
Sure he does. He needs potassium. He's sweating.
It's not a requirement.
He's sweating his ass off playing. Is this in the Australian Open?
Yes.
It's probably. Do they have a dome? Do they have a dome over top? Does anybody know?
I think they do.
I think it's dome. I was about to say it's a billion degrees,
yeah,
but I'm not
there's
sure.
There's fires everywhere. There's smoke everywhere.
Yeah.
But
you know
what?
It doesn't matter. You're playing tennis. You're sweating. You need potassium.
It's a lock you were a ball boy when Johan Kriek was playing.
Sounds right.
Are you just looking at like the 1984 DC Bank?
No, I'm looking at the 1984 Top 100 from the ATP.
Yeah, yeah. It's probably those guys were there.
All right. Anders, Jared. I mean, those are sillies. That's back when
Mats Wilander.
I love tennis back. All the Swedes.
Of course you did.
Anyway, I got to check to see if that Frenchman won that match. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, you let me know.
I want to see if he's going to ask a ball girl to do the same thing in the
right.
second match.
Hey, can you track your Barry Sanders package?
Yes.
Do you have a tracking number? Can you see where your Barry Sanders jersey is
right now?
Let's do a live update.
I'll tell you where it is. It's probably in
Do you
like,
really care?
I'm just curious.
He paid for the cheapest shipping. It's probably being carried by a pack mule. from Nevada to D.C.
The other thing I wanted to bring up, when you talked college basketball earlier on the show, you were talking about how North Carolina, you just can't believe North Carolina is sub-500.
I can't believe they're 1-6.
They got one ACC win.
Yeah, I can't believe
it. You know, kind of the big story in college basketball this week was the brawl between Kansas and Kansas State, and I guess they handed down suspensions.
Yep.
D'Souza got a 12-game suspension, which almost seems light.
He should have got the entire year.
Yeah, it almost seems like they just didn't have the guts to suspend him for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I don't know. They need him for the tournament.
So he got 12 games. Some guy named David McCormick on Kansas
got
2 games. He should have
got more. McCormick was outrageous. I mean, he's 6'9", 250 pounds going in there. He's stomping on guys, and he only got 2 games?
Kansas State, James Love got 8 games, and Antonio Gordon got 3 games. So they only suspended 4 guys.
I think they were all alike.
Who was the dude with the stool over his head? Like, he's
that's
not the,
D'Souza.
D'Souza. That was D'Souza. Okay. He got the 12. If he didn't grab the stool, he probably would have got 3.
Right. Got ramped up.
Yeah.
But he didn't actually wield the stool.
No. He didn't hit anybody with it. He was about to.
Oh, he would have gone to jail.
Before somebody grabbed it.
He would have gone to jail.
Out of his hand.
Yeah. Tracking my package, it just said it's... It was in Chantilly at 6:49 last night. So I have no idea where it is right now.
I know where it is right now. Hopefully Chantilly.
Hopefully it's in Ohio.
It's in Drabtilly right now,
right,
collecting dust.
Will you bring it in once you receive it? The Barry Sanders jersey.
Absolutely.
With the autograph by J.B. Bernstein.
I'm so
bitter. He's going to sign
it. He's so going to fake that autograph. We have to give it
by the way, you guys are never going to believe that Barry signed it. You already have it in your head that the agent's
going to
sign it.
Well, I need to see Barry Sanders' authenticated autograph next to the one on your jersey.
Okay, well, you find that.
Well, it's butt easy. You go on Google and type in Barry Sanders' authentic signature.
I'm just saying, you find that.
Because I am an autograph hound. Not really. We have to thank our friends at Dunkin' for breakfast today. Every Thursday throughout the regular hockey season, DD Perks members score double the points on any cup of coffee or cold brew at participating DC Dunkin' locations. So thanks again to Dunkin' for breakfast.
All right, Thursday tradition, Beyond Open Lines, Bruce the Hugger calls in.
Yes,
generally, he has an announcement. Let's go to our pal, Bruce the Hugger.
Good morning, Jockey.
Hello, Bruce.
I got an announcement to make.
Okay.
Hey, Kate, is Tiger going to hit bigger bombs today than your Sims joke?
Hold on. I need you to repeat that. Just start the joke over.
Something about the Sims joke.
Yeah.
The terrible Sims joke.
All right, Bruce, can you give us the announcement again? We missed it.
That was a big flop.
Okay. Good morning, Junkies. I have an announcement to make. Hey, Kate, is Tiger going to hit bigger bombs today than your Sims joke?
Something than your Sims joke. I don't understand the garble.
Something a big bomb.
Is Tiger Woods going to hit bigger bombs today than your Sims joke?
The answer to that is no. It's impossible to have a bigger bomb than that Sims joke.
Hey, you got
to
go for it every now and then.
Hey, so you just have to put yourself out there, Bruce.
I was aware that the Sims was some sort of video game.
Of course you were. But you know what you didn't do? You didn't laugh.
How about a laugh from
somebody? Bruce.
I know. Yes.
All right, Bruce. Enjoy Bowie today.
I will.
I mean, if you got a sympathy laugh, would have even worked. Just
all right,
nothing.
We got to get out of here, Cakes. For Cakes, Bish, I'm JP. We'll see you tomorrow. Granddaddy next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.